Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Cheng, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence. Hey, storytellers! I hope you got all of your holiday shopping done. I'm so excited to be doing Secret Santa for the first time ever with my family. It's going to be a really fun new way to change things up in our Christmas traditions. What are you guys up to for the holidays? Let me know on Twitter over at 88 Cups of Tea. On a side note, how are we nearly a week away from 2017? This year flew by so quickly, and I'm thrilled we got the chance to celebrate 88 Cups of Tea's first birthday with you. We've had an amazing roster of inspiring guests, and I can't wait to continue delivering quality episodes to you each week in the new year. We've got a lot of awesome things rolling out next year, and I'm so excited to announce them. For the time being, I'll be working diligently on my 2017 goals, and we'll be sharing them with members in our new private Facebook group. Some of our community members jumped in and shared that their main goals are to finish their novels, edit their manuscripts, send out query letters, and attend conferences. What are your 2017 goals? We'll be checking in again next week in our Facebook group about our goals, and I'm so excited to hear about them. Head over to facebook.com/group/88cupsoftea to join our warm and encouraging community. Before we continue on to the rest of today's episode, I want to take a moment and give a massive, heartfelt thank you to one of our listeners for leaving a really touching review on our iTunes page. Yoga Fiend gave us 5 stars, calling our show the best writing podcast around. Yoga Fiend continued to say, "I love this podcast. It informs, amuses, teaches, and does so while emphasizing the positives of creativity without hiding from the challenges. Yin is a masterful interviewer, drawing out her guests, fabulous guests, I might add, with regard to their background, writing habits, advice to other writers, and personal stories that are often moving. The interview with RJ Palacio and her story of how she came to write Wonder is not to be missed. Simply the best writer's podcast out there." Wow. Podcast Fiend, you are beyond incredible. Thank you for your generous and kind words and for taking the time to leave a review. How did I get so lucky to have such thoughtful listeners like you? I am so grateful, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. And on to a quick announcement. 88 Cups of Tea will be taking a brief hiatus for the holiday break. In the meantime, we're playing our show's most popular episodes. If you're new to the show, this is the perfect time for you to play catch up with all of our episodes before we come back with a whole new slate of amazing guests for the new year. For all of our listeners, this is a really fun way to see which episodes other fellow 88 Cups of Tea listeners are vibing with the most. One of our most popular episodes that we'll be replaying today features Joanna Volpe, the president and literary agent of New Leaf Literary and Media. I can't even begin to explain how awesome Joanna's episode is. We dive right into how she became a literary agent, how she built one of the most respected and sought-after full-service management and representation firms for authors and illustrators, and how she runs her firm like an entrepreneurial badass. For fellow writers listening in, this is a dream come true kind of episode because we meticulously unpack what Joanna looks for in future star clients, how the most successful authors set themselves apart from the crowd, and Joanna walks us through writing query letters and gives us examples of queries that have stopped Joanna in her tracks. We talk about a whole lot more, so before I go on even more, let's just jump right in. Hey everyone, we have Joanna Volpe on the show with us today. I am so excited to have Joanna on the show because she's the very first literary agent on the show ever. Joanna, what's up? How are you doing?
Hey, and not bad. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. You are awesome. I'm a huge fan of your work and your clients. I think you're doing such an amazing job. So let's kick it off. What inspired you to want to be a literary agent?
You know, I actually didn't know what a literary agent was for a long time. When I made the decision to get into publishing, of course, I thought editor, because aside from editorial, I just knew about book sales. And those were the only 2 jobs that were very obvious to me. But when I was applying for editor jobs, it was really difficult to crack into. So I started to take some classes in publishing in general, just to like learn more. I knew that the people who taught those classes actually worked in publishing. So I thought this is the best way to get a connection to some people who are actually in these publishing houses. And one of the classes that were offered at the NYU publishing certificate course was how to be a literary agent. So I thought, okay, I've heard of a literary agent. I don't know what they do. Let me take the course. And it was pretty immediate that I realized this is what I wanted to do, because it did bring in an editorial aspect, but it also brought in a very entrepreneurial aspect. I grew up in a house where my parents ran their own business. To me, it just was a perfect blend of the two things.
That's awesome. What did your parents do?
They own movie theaters.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
Dude, how awesome is that? What?
I know. I grew up in a movie theater.
Wait, that's amazing. I'm surprised that you went into books rather than like producing film because of your movie theater influence growing up.
I know. I think what I loved about the movies was the storytelling aspect of it. I still do. I will see a movie in theaters if I really enjoy it up to 5 or 6 times, believe it or not, because I want to kind of unpack it and learn all of its secrets. It's crazy. People think I'm nuts, but there's something, and maybe it's because I literally grew up sitting in a movie house day in, day out, that there's something very comforting about the lights going down. And every movie theater around the world has the same smell. I've been in theaters in different countries around the world. They always smell like slightly of stale popcorn and soda. I know, it's great.
I think that's fascinating about your background. Did you ever have a desire to want to write screenplays, scripts, or books?
Well, I did want to write at one point. I love to read, and that's why I thought publishing. But before I actually thought publishing, I thought author, because that's the first job that every reader thinks of. Like, I love reading, so let me create stories. But I quickly learned that I'm a much better editor than I am a writer. I was in critique groups with other writers, and I was being requested by other critique groups to come in and give notes, and I really enjoyed it. So I would do that, and I would have no time for my own writing, but I was really loving critiquing other people's work, and they seemed to really love the feedback. And it was my dad, actually, who said, you know, maybe what you should be doing instead of pursuing writing is actually pursuing a career in editorial. And I'd never really thought about it. And my dad, who originally wanted to be a filmmaker, but ended up owning movie theaters, it makes sense why he would kind of see a connection in a way to kind of fulfill a dream in a different way.
Do you feel like there's ever going to be some possibility in the future that you want to pick up on the writing again?
I love being an agent. I could not imagine going back into writing after working with so many different authors for fiction and nonfiction. I also work with illustrators, and seeing all the work they put in to their books from beginning to end, and seeing the heartache and the successes and the joys. And, you know, I just know it's something that I am not meant to do. I'm just meant to help. Like, you know, you just find that thing where you're like, this is actually what I was built for. Like,
yes,
that is exactly this.
I'm so much in awe of what you've done and what you've created. You seriously have such a badass list of clients. And I really, truly believe it's because it stems from within your team that you've created. It's almost like running a restaurant where, yes, you have restaurant goers coming in, but if the back of house and front of house are not solid, it's going to go into shambles. So how did you know to start off with such an amazing foundation of building up a really strong team?
There's a couple of different answers to that that I think all connect. For one, I'm the type of person, just personally, if I don't care about the people, I find it really difficult to care about the project or whatever it is that they're doing. I was never going to work with anybody that I wasn't fully invested in as a person. So it's just natural for me to work with everybody in my team in that way, and then also to promote others to work similarly. Like, really get to know each other and get to know what each other is working on and what their values are and what their goals are, and it will be a better work environment. And I think I've attracted people that are similar, because no one's going to want to work with me if they hate that environment, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I've attracted a similar team in that sense. The other thing is, it's funny you bring up a restaurant. I mean, I waitressed for probably a total of 7 years between my senior year of high school through college, and then also while I was in publishing at different places. I've waitressed everywhere from IHOP and pizzerias to like really fancy tasting menu restaurants. And so there is something, I've completely seen exactly what you're talking about. If the front of house and the back of house aren't working in tandem, then it basically will fail. So I've seen that firsthand as well. I also used to teach before I got into publishing.
Oh, what were you teaching?
I taught special education.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't love the administration, which is the reason I got out of it when I was, I think, 23 or 24. But I loved it. And teaching special ed, you actually have to work with the other teachers because you're kind of amplifying whatever it is they're doing. And so there was no way for it to work if you didn't work together. So I would be working with the classroom teacher, the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, the speech therapist, and then me, who would either be the one-on-one teacher or the teacher that was kind of in an inclusionary classroom working with these kids for part of the day or whatever it was. And so that is another job that I had where the team mentality was essential for the sake of the kids. So I kind of just like took all of those different things and they're kind of infused in my general philosophy. So when I came to start New Leaf, I did work for other agencies, and I did notice that at other agencies, a lot of agents tend to work in silos, and they only really come together to talk about contract problems or to share gossip or just information. Yeah. And I didn't love that environment. Like, I saw the benefit of some of those things, but I didn't love that environment. So at the two agencies I worked for prior to starting New Leaf, I knew what I didn't want to do. And I also knew what kind of got me jazzed, which was collaboration on a greater scale.
How did you know which agents to bring onto your team?
I bought out my boss, who ended up retiring early. So some of those folks were with her already, but I was VP when I bought her out. So I'd actually brought them on to her company, Nancy Coffey Literary and Media Representation. So Kathleen Ortiz and Susie Townsend in particular were two people that I had brought into Nancy Coffey at that time. Over the course of a couple of years, they staggered their way in. I knew that they were killer. Kathleen was my intern years and years ago, and Susie worked in the same office space as me, but a different agency prior to that point. So we often were working with each other because at the agencies we were at, like I said, they were working in silos, and we said, why not work together? I know we're competitors, quote unquote, but you know, I think you can get more done if you're supporting one another. And she felt the same way. So bringing her over to Nancy was a natural progression at that time. So when I started New Leaf, I already had those two guys. They were great. And we had, at that time, my assistant, Danielle Barthel, who is now risen in the agency to the coordinator of team and client services. And then there was Puya Shabazian, who I had worked with outside of New Leaf and outside of Nancy. He had never actually worked in the same company as me. We worked so well together that I just said, you know, dude, like, I know you're itching to make a change in your career. I'm starting this agency. What do you think? And he came over. So at the start of New Leaf, that was the core team.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah. You know, like, we all kind of grew up together in the business and knew each other. Since then, we've brought on some other people, some assistants who have become agents since, like Jada Temperley was an assistant here for a couple of years, and now she's an agent kicking butt in her own right. And then Mackenzie Brady worked at the Charlotte Sheedy agency, but prior to that, years ago, she was an intern of Susie's and mine, and I just knew how strong she was. So when she was ready to make a change, I said, look, if you are, like, please think of us. And so she did at that time. And it's just kind of amassed that way. Pete Knapp is someone else I knew when he was a scout. And then later, when he was working at the Teresa Park Literary Agency, and when he was ready to make a change, he kind of reached out, and we had already had a good relationship. And we have a new agent named J.L. Sturmer, who I've known for years and years. She's been at different agencies throughout the years, and we've just always stayed friends. She just recently was at UTA and was also ready to make a change in her career and reached out. So I think it's more about just keeping relationships going and supporting each other. And look, if we never actually formally work together, no big deal. I think there's enough success to go around. We'll stay friends, but if they're looking to make a change and it feels like the right fit, I hope they'll think of New Leaf.
I love that. You truly sound like such an awesome leader.
Thank you.
Sounds like you really reward those who work hard. Is that common? Like, if you're an intern, it's almost guaranteed you'll become an assistant. It's guaranteed to become a junior agent and then a full agent. Is that the process?
I can't really speak for every other agency, but for us, if you're good at what you do when you're an intern for us, we'll help you get a job if we don't have an opening at that time. And if we have an opening, you're going to be the first person we think of. Mm. Not only that, for assistance, every person on our team, I'm trying to help them become the best at whatever it is that they do so that they can continue to grow. And if they aren't good at what they do, they won't stay here. They probably wouldn't even been brought on to begin with, you know? So.
True.
The whole point is for them to grow here. And I say it all the time to my team, and now I'll say it on a public podcast. I want anybody here can one day run this company. I don't care if they aren't specifically a literary agent, if maybe they're office manager or branding person or whatever it be. I have no ego about that. I think everyone should have the opportunity to grow there, but they have to grow there. I mean, that's all it is. So they have to go through the motions, and they will, and they've been. So
wow,
that's kind of my thoughts on it.
I love your vision and I love the way you run your business. That's so badass. Like, seriously, have you not taken any business classes? You just like kind of threw yourself in?
No, I've never taken business classes.
What?
But you asked about, I know. No, but you asked about books before. And also another thing, I really believe in seeking help and guidance. I don't think everyone has all the answers. So of course I've asked my own parents for advice, even though they come from a very different business. They still have such great insight to offer. And also I've worked with different coaches and had different mentors throughout the years. Everybody that actually works with NewLeaf eventually gets coaching. It's some kind of career coaching that they get to use and help them kind of visualize what they want to do with their career and how NewLeaf fits into that plan. So we do that. And I, of course, have done that. And then the books I've read, I mean, I've read a lot of them, Good to Great, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. I love this book called Strength Finders. It's amazing.
Is this the one where they're like, they find your strengths and they just focus on that and make you flourish from there?
Yeah, it's like lean into your strengths instead of fight against your weaknesses.
Yes.
That's exhausting. You'll never work at your best capacity if you're constantly just fighting against your weaknesses. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to improve them.
Yes.
It just means that that shouldn't be where your focus is. But your focus is should be leaning into your strengths, which everybody has them. So
amazing. So you make your whole team take that test?
Oh, yeah. We do the Strength Finders. I've had everybody do their MBTI, emotional intelligence test. Like, they all do it. And it's totally all voluntary. And it's all for their own use and purposes. I don't sit there in my office and say, well, so-and-so is this strength, so that's all we can work on. But it's helpful when I'm maybe trying to work through a particular problem.
Yeah.
Where I can say something like, so-and-so has an achiever strength as one of their top, so we might want to bring them into this project because they'll keep us on task. You know, it's the kind of thing where like it actually helps me as a manager pull the perfect task forces together for different things and also to help people lean into their own strengths to build their own careers.
Oh, hell yes. I'm about to be the yas queen. Yas. You're so cool. One last thing, because I'm just so fascinated because I have a little bit of that entrepreneurial side in me too. My parents also started their own businesses. Do you do any like fun bonding experiences and activities for you and your team, your agents?
Oh, yes, for sure. For one, we do team days that are full like coaching days for the team.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we'll do that once to twice a year. We'll like rent a beach house somewhere and everyone will go and be lots of food and eventually drink at the end of the day. But you know, early in the day, lots of food and different exercises where we're kind of working together. And usually we pick a fun space for it so that it feels like we're getting out of our element. And then we also do like bowling or we'll all go out for drinks together. We'll always do like a movie day a couple times a year where we'll like cut out early and we'll all go see a movie together. You know, we just try to keep us in contact both in the office and outside of.
Honestly, I feel like I have a crush on your agency. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so awesome. So I'd love to move on a little bit. What is the most difficult or frustrating thing about being an agent overall?
The most difficult or frustrating thing is that at the end of the day, I can love a book, but I can't make somebody buy it and publish it. I can try to convince them, try to show them the value in it. But sometimes I'm just dealing with marketing teams and sales teams that are just looking at the bottom line and not the project. It's almost never the editor. You know, it's usually the other folks in-house that are making that final decision. And that gets really frustrating.
How involved are you with your clients' work? Like with brainstorming ideas to workshopping first drafts or like revisions, how much do you allow yourself to be and that you enjoy?
I'm involved with my clients' work as much as they are comfortable with me being involved with it. I got into this thinking I wanted to be an editor first. So I do get a certain amount of enjoyment out of editing their work on many levels, both from the brainstorm level to the big picture level, right down to the nitty gritty line level. However, realistically, I don't have time to do that for every project. And of course, that's the reason I find editors for them so that someone can focus on that with them. And two, not every client needs that and or wants it. So it really just depends, you know, what they're looking for. I have some clients who need to brainstorm with me and then send me the first few chapters and then send me the manuscript. And then I have some clients who are like, I've worked with the same critique partner for 10 years. I like our process. I'll send you it when it's done and you can give me any notes then, make sure they're big picture. And that's fine with me. To me, I get most excited when I feel like we both have the same vision for the project. And so that could be really at any stage.
If you can choose your most ideal relationship with your client, with your dream client, how would that be?
I feel like I work with so many clients that I consider like the dream clients already.
Aww,
but
that's awesome.
I won't say who they are, but they're great.
They know who they are, trust.
They do. But my ideal client is someone who is creatively wide in their interests and also somewhat entrepreneurial themselves. They don't need to be business people. I mean, that is what my job is. So I don't want them to be too entrepreneurial because then why do they need me? But, you know, in the sense of that, they see a long-term vision for their career and they're not just kind of going book by book. That gets me like the most excited working with somebody when they're like, I have an interest in writing young adults and adult books and maybe even picture books one day. And I also love to do podcasts, but I'm not sure how to make it all happen. And I'm not sure what the best timeline is, but I just know that I am dreaming bigger than just this one book. That's my ideal client. It doesn't matter if the book is the most amazing novel ever written. If that person tells me that this is the only book they ever want to write and they want to just be a recluse in the woods and not talk to anybody, I'm not the agent for them. There is an agent for them out there. It's just not me, you know? So I think we need to like kind of both creatively and entrepreneurially connect in a way that feels right. And then the best part about that is it's always different. I have clients that do want to do all of those things and clients that want to do even more. I have clients that want to run their own production studio one day and it's like, awesome, I'm going to be one part of your greater pie. So let me know how I can help you do that. To me, it gets me really excited for people doing things that excite them.
Gotcha. So when you said like, let me know how I could help you do that, what if they're more like, I'm not really sure how you can help me do that, but I know I want you to be a part of my team. Can you help brainstorm together on how, for example, I, the author, can get there? You have even more of a say in how they get to that bigger picture? Or do you kind of already want them to know how you would fit in and how you could specifically help them?
Oh, no, it's my job to convince them how I can help them, you know? I don't expect that. Sometimes they know. Like, sometimes they know. But most of the time they come in and they know that they want books to be a part of it, but they don't know how I can help them to greater goals. And that's where I come in and say this, that, or the other thing. And look, I actually advise my clients on a lot of stuff that have nothing to do specifically with the financial part of my role, where I don't necessarily get any commission for the advisement. It has nothing to do with books necessarily. But to me, the clients and their books are one and the same in the sense that if I'm helping a client get their charity organization off the ground, that's only going to help their platform, which will later help the book. So to me, worth it.
Let's say you focus on their one genre, which they first query you with their manuscript, let's say about a young adult thriller. Then they decide they want to do an adult romance novel. Then do you pass them on to a different agent within your agency to focus on that specific genre? Or do you kind of oversee all of them?
No, I oversee all of them.
Dang.
Yeah, absolutely. I can sell into many different markets. I mean, the sale is actually, the selling it is very similar in no matter what market, right? It's like whether I'm selling adult nonfiction or a children's picture book, you find the right editor match and you negotiate the terms. And those terms are generally throughout the agency. There is like parameters that are similar in each market. But it's the where does it fit into the greater plan? Passing it off to somebody else actually makes it more difficult to strategize. So okay. I think it's kind of like you need to figure out where it fits. I heard on David Peterson's podcast that you did with him, and I already knew this, but I sold David's two nonfiction books about language creation, but he also wants to write fiction. And that's actually where he started. And so him and I have already had that conversation and talked about that and what that transition is going to look like. I mean, it's in the cards. It's like, it's going to happen. And also I know that he's very busy in his other life as a language creator for film and television. So I always talk to him about how that's going and where that all fits into it as well. So we're always kind of having those conversations and keeping him on track. And when he has a new baby and they move in the same year, as he explained, kind of also saying to everybody else, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
David's a little busy right now. You know, it's my job to also protect his space and give him that too.
Man, that just really sounds like a dream team that any writer and any whoever can have. I feel like I'm living vicariously through all of you. I'm like, yes, go girl. That is so cool though. Okay. Query letters. That is definitely necessary to reach out to you, for example. How would you advise writers to query you? Are there any terms and guidelines they should be aware about?
Well, our query guidelines are on our website, and most agencies will have their guidelines on their website. I encourage everybody that once you have the list of agents you want to query, check out what their guidelines are. Because while there are a lot of similarities to what the guidelines are, everybody is a little bit different in how they choose to receive it. Some agents want a synopsis, some do not. Some want you to attach 5 pages, some want 3 chapters, some want the whole thing, some just want the query letter. So make sure the guidelines, you know, have been researched first for each agent on your query list. In terms of what we prefer at NewLeaf, we only take digital queries now. We used to also get the physical mail queries, but we only take digital queries now. You query a query at newleafliterary.com and you put the agent's name, who you're querying, in the subject line. It actually gets sorted on our end, so each agent gets the query that they need to get. And then you'll get an automatic response that comes back that says your query has been received and you'll hear from us within a month. If you don't hear from us within a month, then assume that we've passed. The only reason that we have that, and we used to respond to each and every query, but the only reason we don't anymore is because we literally get thousands.
Wow.
And it was just taking too much time to respond to every query. So now that response comes up, so you know it got here. But if you don't hear from us within a month, it means that we're not interested for whatever reason. It's just publishing is totally subjective. So
gotcha.
But anybody who we request more material from, we will get back to them personally. So,
and usually within that time, like how long would they wait? Sort of like that round two.
The round two when we get the manuscript?
Yeah.
It could be, I would say, up to 8 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. It could be a long time. And that's really simply because client manuscripts come first.
Well,
so,
of course. Yes.
You know, we might have your query and your manuscript in hand, but then we have like 7 client manuscripts in the queue and those guys come first. So it could be as quick as I've in the past is turned around as quickly as a few days. Just because the right time, you know, for, you know, I happen to have no client reading and I'm excited to read this, et cetera. Or, you know, I've taken up to 8 weeks.
Okay, gotcha. That's really good to know. A lot of writers hold on for a while and just hoping and hoping. But a lot of times it's like just good to keep pushing through, start writing that next book if you have a new idea.
Yes.
What about any exemplary query letters that you can remember off the top of your head and share with us what stood out to you most and made you go like, whoa, that was awesome. You don't have to name the person. It's okay. If there's just like one thing that stood out to you in that query letter that was like, dang, like totally made you drop everything.
Yeah. There were two that I can think of like off the top of my head. One was Cody Keplinger's The Duff.
We had Cody on the show.
Oh, how did I not know that? That's awesome. I should go and listen to it because obviously I adore her.
I grabbed coffee with her in New York when I was visiting. She's so freaking awesome.
She's great. She's great and super talented and very good at queries. And she actually used to help a lot of other writers with their own queries, by the way.
Really?
She just, yes, because she just was very good at breaking it down. She's helped a lot of writers. And I just think sometimes it's hard. It's difficult for writers to summarize something in a way that feels enticing because they're so stuck in the big book. You know, it's hard to say like, okay, great. Now you just wrote 90,000 words. Can you boil it down to 150 words and make it interesting? It's really hard to ask of people. But Cody just had a knack for it. And I remember the query for The Duff. I don't remember specifically what it said because it was so many years ago now, but I remember the voice being very clear and the conflict also being very clear and me kind of being like, I need to know what happens.
Wait, are you the agent that she was talking about where it's like, wait, hold up. You're not over 18 and you had to talk to her
yes,
mom?
That's me.
Oh my God, that's you. That's so funny.
I was mortified.
Okay, now the whole thing is tying together for me.
I mean, the book is very steamy and sexy. And I remember turning to my boss and at one point when I was reading it before I knew her age, being like, this author must have a great sex life. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And then when I found out her age, I was like, can I legally discuss my notes with you? I was so uncomfortable.
That's pretty funny. So was that your like only time where you're like, oh my God, she's not of age yet?
She's the only person I signed who wasn't of age that I didn't know. Yes, I've signed 19-year-olds and other folks who are, you know, but that was the only one I went into just not knowing. And it really, like, I thought she was a teacher when she said, can we talk after 3? You know, I was like, oh, she's a teacher. Great. Like, I had no idea.
Pretty impressive, too, that she wasn't even 18 yet.
I know.
Who's the second one?
An author named April Tuhalki. She wrote a book called Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea.
Ooh, I like the title.
Oh, it's so good. And it's really a modern gothic with horror undertones. It's quite literary, but it also has a good romance. It's got everything and a good mystery. Her query letter actually gave me chills.
What?
Because it described how basically this stranger rolled into town and slowly the town began to unravel. And it actually gave examples in the query in this very poetic way. It was like a man goes to the center square and slits his own throat and this
Ooh,
and that.
What? I just got I goosebumps, know. Girl.
I loved the query so much. I remember I read it that night. I requested it and she managed to send it back to me fairly quickly either. She was at her desk or whatever it was. And I read it that night. It was a weekend and me and my husband were going to visit his parents, my in-laws. And I was like, I need to call this author. And we were on the way and I'm like, I can't wait till Monday. Can you pull over into this parking lot? And I called and I got her voicemail. So I just left this rambling message of being like, your book gave me equally, if not more chills than your query. Like, please call me back. I want to work with you.
This is like the most ultimate amazing fangirling situation.
Seriously.
Does she teach query letter writing?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Oh. She just, you know, April is the kind of writer that everything she writes from emails to her own books
just sounds like poetry.
Just sounds like poetry, but really evocative, intriguing poetry.
Oh,
that you're
I'm
like,
so jealous.
I need to read this person's books. I know. Her newest book is called Wing Puppy Midnight, and it's three points of view, and it's the same thing. All three of them very different voices, but yet somehow managed to be very infused with April's stunning styles.
Wow, you just totally sold her. I definitely want to check out her book, and I'm going to look her up. I'm like so jealous of people like her that can even write their emails like it's poetry. I have like one friend, Deb Havener. She writes like a simple email. I'm like, what? You just sold me a book. Like, what is this? And I just wish more people had that in them.
I know.
Man, that's pretty awesome. So that's cool that you can remember those two off the top of your head. Okay, so I'm hearing that there's all these writers' conferences. Is there a difference between emailing you a query letter, like a digital one, versus pitching at you in person at a writers' conference?
I mean, there is a difference because the whole process is, but I usually will ask someone who pitches me at a conference to follow up with a written query and whatever pages I request at the conference.
Okay, so pitching you at the writer's conference is not the same as a query letter. It's not like a live version.
I mean, it is, but okay. Usually you have a set amount of time. Conferences will usually set it anywhere from 2 minutes to 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
A lot of them will have like cowbells that like they ring, they're like, all right, switch up. It's a lot like speed dating.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yes. I feel so bad for the authors because they're so nervous and they always sit down and I'm like, don't be nervous. I mean, for me, I feel like I'm like, don't be nervous. At the very least, I'll be able to give you some advice, even if it's not, you know, your idea's not for me. So you're going to get something out of this session is usually like what I say. Then they usually feel better about it. Or I'll tell them about the time that I was a writer and pitched to agents when I used to go to conferences and then they feel better about it. So
oh my God, I'm sorry. You just opened up a whole closet of skeletons. Please give me an example.
Yes. Well, so, you know, I said I used to write and was part of critique groups and whatever it be. But yeah, I used to go to conferences. I've gone to at least one SCBWI conference. I also did the Andrea Brown conference that they do at Big Sur. Jen Loughran of Andrea Brown Agency is a friend. We bunk with her every year at the Bologna Book Fair. So I feel comfortable saying this, but I totally pitched her a middle grade, like one of her very first year agenting. And it was actually the year I started in publishing, but I hadn't yet started in publishing. And so, you know, she was very nice about it. She requested it. I never sent it because I started in publishing and was like, see you later, writing career.
Oh,
you know, it was awesome. I know. But yeah, I've done it. It's nerve-wracking to sit across from somebody and pitch your book and do it concisely in a way that intrigues them without, you know, snorting or sneezing or losing your train of thought. Like, that is hard. That is really hard. So I have a very strong sympathy for the authors who do it.
Do you notice if you gravitate towards people who speak better when pitching their idea, or doesn't matter if they speak well or not, but really a great idea?
Yeah, it's really a great idea. I've signed a handful of people from conferences, and all of them, it was never a perfect pitch.
Okay.
And it was one of those, they started pitching and it turned into a conversation where I had to ask them questions to get them to the central conflict. I think that's one thing that people in pitches in person and in their queries often forget to do, is you need to get to the central conflict of the story in your pitch, whether verbal or query. You know, just telling us backstory is not enough. Like, we need to know who the characters are and what the conflict is, so that I understand the stakes. Otherwise, I'm not really invested. The people I've signed from conferences, actually, I've sold half of them so far.
Wow.
And one of them is Veronica Roth of
what?
The Divergent
Series.
What?
Oh, so are you serious?
Yeah, at a conference.
Which conference did she go to?
The Midwest Writers Workshop in Muncie, Indiana. It was a great conference. I actually signed three people from that conference.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've only signed like 5 writers from conferences in total. So signing 3 from one is like bananas.
You have freaking solid clients and you have this amazing loyal team of agents. Like, did you ever see this coming or were you just kind of jumping in because you knew you loved it? You worked your ass off and hoped for the best.
I jumped in because I loved it and, you know, worked my ass off and hoped for the best. But I just kind of knew with this team it was going to work. Of course, I never would have been like, and we're going to have a franchise by this year. Like, that's bananas. Like, who would say that? But, you know, I did see the talent we had on our list. Yeah. Like, for me, I also worked with Leigh Bardugo, who wrote 6 of Crows, and I worked on her first trilogy.
Yes, we had her on the show, too. Oh, I loved her episode.
I do know. Yes, she's great. Leigh is brilliant. And I knew it was a matter of time before she broke out. So it's just some things where you're like, okay, I know this is going to happen, but sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen on the exact timeline that I'm hoping for, but just kind of knowing it and knowing about the same thing about the team. The first time I read Red Queen, which is represented by Susie Townsend here, by Victoria Aveyard, I was like, yep, this is going to be so big that we almost might not have time for it. But then, oh, yes, we did. Like, you know, it was kind of like one of those things.
You just knew with Veronica Roth, you just know with like Victoria Aveyard, you just know with Leigh Bardugo, where it's like, whoa, they're destined for this kind of success. Was it something that you're looking for in particular? Like, was there something that tied them all together that you noticed like a common theme?
No, I don't notice a common theme. I will say I actually ended up passing on Veronica's first project, the one she pitched me, but I liked her writing so much, I asked her to send me her next thing, which was Divergent.
Wow.
Yes. And that was immediate, like first read. I was like, yes. Oh, wow. I already knew she was a good writer, but that was like, I was like, and now you found your story. You found the one. I'd gotten to know her at that conference a bit and liked her a lot. And throughout our correspondence on her first project, we actually exchanged notes. Like she had done a revision for me. So I knew that she also worked really well and that her craft was really important to her and getting better and improving on it. So I liked that about her. And I think the commonality between all of my clients is their want to continue learning despite whatever success they might have. If someone's just kind of like, I'm the best and I don't need to learn anything, that's another kind of personality that might not well with me.
Kinda yeah, like, bye, Felicia.
Yes. And, you know, you talked to David, who I think is probably one of the most brilliant people I've ever known in my life.
Yeah,
and he is so humble.
Yes.
And so open to experience. That's the commonality. But in terms of the work itself, it is instinct, and which means that you really have to have your finger on the pulse of the market. Like you need to be reading a lot of other books. You need to be going to the movies and watching a lot of TV and reading what's going on in social media and in pop culture. And you need to actually do it organically. I think if I ever assigned myself this work, I would be bored to tears. Like it's something that I actually enjoy. So therefore, I'd kind of just do it and take in that information. And then that's when it manifests in work that I receive that I'm going, yes, that actually feels like the one, you know, so that's the instinctual part that it's hard to teach that.
You have been the most amazing first literary agent guest. You totally popped the cherry in the best way possible. Thank Woo! You very much. Is there anything that you want to tell the listeners that we should look out?
Oh, man. Gosh. Okay. Can I come back to that one?
I just threw a whole thing.
I know. I was like, what can I say? There's so many things.
But yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have a book that's your ultimate favorite that's made a huge impact on you, whether it's within your entrepreneurial side or as a literary agent that has influenced you in the best way possible that you can recommend to us to check out?
Honestly, we already talked about it, but Strength Finders, I buy it for people who are not even on my team. I meet somebody and if I feel like it's something that they dig, I either buy it for them or tell them to buy it.
That's a
great gift. Upon first meeting. I love it. It's a great gift. Even if you don't buy into the whole philosophy of it, at the very, very least, that book is going to give you language in which you can articulate your own strengths to others, which people often have a hard time doing. They can't talk about themselves in that way. It feels arrogant or they don't know how to say it. This will at least give you that language at the very least, but at the most, it'll give you the confidence you need to kind of like take control of your own career and your own destiny. So it's the best.
We're going to link that up on your show notes page for sure.
Yay.
While you're brainstorming about what you want to tell us before we wrap it up, I just have to say shout out your social media. That game is strong as hell. Like, girl, you got a lot of followers.
Thank you.
My goodness. I'm starting to think you wrote the Divergent series. Did you start the social media for you or specifically for New Leaf?
So my own social media, we've always been very active. Everybody that's part of New Leaf is just naturally kind of similar in personality. So we've just been on social media since early.
Yeah.
But I'm at Joe S. Volpe, Josvolpe. Had to learn how to spell my own name there. And I'm on that on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I have the same name. In terms of New Leaf, this was a concerted effort with my team. Jackie Lindert is the one who really built up the New Leaf social media and actually paid attention and saw what people were interested in hearing more about. And then we hired Hillary Pescioni, our director of brand development, who is now taking us to the next level. She did our new website pretty much on her own.
Oh, she did an amazing job.
Yeah, it's crazy good. Everybody contributes. Mackenzie Brady does a lot of the stuff on our Facebook, and Susie Townsend and Sarah Strickler handle our Tumblr and our Ask Agent, and Jackie does our Twitter, and Danielle does our Instagram. And we did that because these are the things that everyone organically liked doing. So it was kind of like, we can't fake it, guys. It's like, we either need to like it or we need to cut it. And that's what we did.
You've been freaking awesome. Tell us if there's anything off the top of your head that we should check out or you'd love for us to know. This is your platform right now.
Awesome. Okay. So like I mentioned, Wing Poppy Midnight is April Tahalke's latest and greatest. It is awesome with the three different narrators, and there's a mystery, and there are unreliable narrators, but you don't know who's lying. It's brilliant. So that one I'm super excited about. And then we have upcoming at the agency a book called Hidden Figures by an author named Margot Lee Shetterly. And it's about the four African-American NASA mathematicians who were key figures in the success of America in the space race. And it's a nonfiction. And it was a never before told story that's now kind of being brought to light. The book comes out the first week of September, but the movie itself comes out either December or January. I don't know if we have the release date yet.
Oh, damn it. I was going to say, I call it, it's going to have a movie made, but never mind. Already.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Okay. Yeah. Have, like, Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, Pharrell is producing, guys.
Wait, you guys sold the rights for the movie?
Mackenzie Brady, yeah, is the one that handled that.
Your whole agency also does that.
Oh, yes, we do. So the guy who did Divergent series with me was the one that came over. He's the one I was mentioning as he's been with day one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I know. So we have Puya Shabazian and Chris McEwen, who handle our film and television, book to film stuff in-house. And they've worked on the Divergent series for me. They did The Duff they coordinated with for me. They're now coordinating with Mackenzie on Hidden Figures, though those rights were actually sold with Mackenzie via UTA, but Puya is for the in-house like coordinator.
Holy crap. So you're totally a full service.
Yeah.
Do you also help the authors with the whole marketing, or is that up to the authors?
That's the reason we brought in the director of brand development. It's to help build author brands, actually.
Oh, so it's everybody, not just your agency.
Yeah.
Get it, girl, Miss President over here.
How can we help authors if we don't have all these services available? You know what I mean?
That's so brilliant, though. My God, Joanna, good for you. Congratulations. Seriously.
Hey.
Anything else you want to wrap it up with?
I guess just telling all the writers out there who are listening, just keep writing, get your butt in a seat and keep going. Doesn't matter how bad the first draft is. You need to get it out in order to get to the second draft and make it a book that's worthwhile and worth selling. Keep reading. You're not going to be able to be a good writer unless you know what other good writing looks like. And you just got to keep reading in all sorts of markets and genres. Like, read nonfiction when you're writing fiction, read picture books, read poetry, read fiction, just read widely. You're not going to get there if you don't put yourself out there. So just do it. Query. You'll never know.
That was a strong wrap up. Thank you so much, Joanna. You are so bomb.com. Thank you.
Oh man, I love that phrase.
My goodness. Thank you for my first time experience with a literary agent on the show being so awesome.
Thanks so much. This was really fun.
That wraps up our conversation with Joanna Volpe. Joanna, thank you so much for unpacking and dissecting my curiosities and walking us through every step of the way. I had the best time chatting with you. Listeners, was that inspiring or what? I can't wait to hear your thoughts about Joanna's episode. So head over to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and let me know at 88 Cups of Tea. Joanna mentions a lot of incredible resources in her episode, so be sure to head over to her show notes page at 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/Joanna Volpe for all the links. Don't forget to say hi to Joanna on Twitter and Instagram at JOSVOLPE. That's at JOSVOLPE. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.